Whoa! Money really does grow on trees.
Very good. Happy Father's Day to our dads. Y'all give them a hand. They obviously don't say those things. It's just the opposite. But, man, we are excited to be able to honor the dads today and to celebrate, you know, just the role of dad. And so we appreciate you guys being here today. And, you know, I want to just kind of let the praise team know, man, they did a great job today. Didn't they do a good job? Let them know. That's our students. If you don't know, they're kids to me. I think a couple of those are in college, but most of them are either high school students or whatever. And Matt, as you guys know, lost his dad just a couple of weeks ago. And so we gave Matt the weekend off to go back and kind of be with his mom today on Father's Day. And wasn't sure, you know, Matt would be ready to lead worship on Father's Day because he and his dad were pretty tight. So if y'all would pray for Matt Brown today and just pray for him and his family as they're kind of processing through today. And so Father's Day is a special day, and it's a day to celebrate. But for some people, like with Matt, it's a tough day. And so today, what we want to do is we want to honor the fathers, and we want to just kind of share some things we feel like from Scripture that kind of give us, you know, just some things that we ought to be about as dads. And hopefully you guys will be encouraged by this. But we here at Journey Church, we love the dads. We try to invest. One of the things that we do is we invest in men's ministry. Many of you guys know the statistics, but we believe that if you can reach the dad who is supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home, then you have a tendency or an opportunity possibly to reach the majority of that home. Like 90-something% of that family will come to know the Lord if the dad is reached. It's not that way with the rest of the family. That's not a knock against anybody else, but it goes to show you where God made it clear that as men, we are to be the spiritual leaders of our home. We're to make the difference. We're to lead and lead well. And that doesn't mean to domineer. That doesn't mean to to be a dictator. It means to lead them and to love them and to guide them. And so today we're going to look at some scripture, and we're going to talk about what are some things that our family needs from us. And number one is this, is we need to provide desperately needed leadership. We need to provide desperately needed leadership. You know, one of the biggest struggles that we see all the time is everything rises and falls with leadership. And in leadership in the home, there needs to be some godly, you know, leadership in our homes. And oftentimes, dads, you know, we get overwhelmed by that. I mean, for some of you, just hearing me say, hey, you're supposed to be the spiritual leader of your home, that's a little bit daunting, even overwhelming. And even to the point sometimes that you just go, man, Mike, I'm just telling you, I can't do that. I don't know enough of the Bible. I don't know enough of this. I don't know enough of that. And so we feel like that's not who we are. But I'm just telling you, it's who you are. It's who God created you to be. It's to be the spiritual leader of your home. You might say, well, my wife knows more about the Bible. It doesn't matter. God wants you to grow. He wants you to mature. He wants you to develop. And He wants you to lead. Every one of us, God has called us to lead in some capacity, some form. But for the husband, for the dad, it's to lead that home and lead it well. A guy named Lewis wrote a book called Raising a Modern Day Knight. And many of you guys may have read this, and it's a great book. And he's talking about adventure. He's talking about, you know, manners and chivalry and stuff. And so just talking about some of the positive things of the knighthood back in the day, what the name meant, what the crest meant, and all these things. And so, anyway, one of the things he talks about in his book, he shows a picture of his dad. And he talks about how his dad was always in the shadows. His dad was an alcoholic. He wasn't really involved in leading the family. And so in Lewis's book, he's got a picture of him and his brothers, and his dad is kind of standing back under a tree in the shadows. He said, that is a perfect picture of how my dad was in our home. He said he was an alcoholic, and he's what a lot of people would call an invisible dad or invisible father in this day and time. And he said, and I realized growing up, looking back, you know, how much we needed our dad. We need our dad to step up. We need our dad to lead. He said, but too often, you know, he was drawn away and he was kind of tucked away in the shadows. And so dads, I just want you to hear, that's a guy, a young man saying, this is what we needed from our dad. We needed him to lead. And so there's a desperate need for leadership in our homes, in our families, in our country, in our community. We need dads leading. If dads would get involved, if dads would make a difference, I'm just telling you, it would make a huge difference, and it would be great returns. And so look at this passage here. Here's Joshua, who was a great leader, my favorite leader, or one of my favorite leaders from Scripture. It says, so fear the Lord and serve Him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped whenever they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates back in Egypt? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my house, or as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was one of my favorite characters. And I don't know if it was because growing up I watched the Ten Commandments. And if you watch Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, you know, Joshua was the faithful one. He was the one that was always there. He was the one that was in support. He's always the one that kind of stood out from everybody else. And so for me, Joshua's always been one of my favorite characters. First message I ever preached was out of Joshua. And so when I look back, I see that he's a man of God. And he's saying, hey, listen, we've got to lead, and we've got to lead our families. And that's what he's addressing. And he says, hey, we should fear the Lord. He said, man, we should fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. You know, I think too often in our culture in this day and time, we want to make God our buddy. And God is still, you know, a father. He is a heavenly father. We can crawl up in his lap and we can go to him with our problems. But he is still the authority in our life. He is still God. And so whenever we get our mind around the fact that, you know what, we're breaking God's laws, we're going against God's teachings, then it should bother us, and there should be a little bit of reverent fear in that. You know, and that's an authoritative fear, that we fear breaking anything that he has laid out or he has laid before us. And so he says to fear the Lord. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. That means with everything that you got. That's your whole heart. That it's not just on Sunday morning. It's not just when it's convenient. It's not whenever there's some positive things going around, maybe some Christians around you, some other guys. But it's saying serve him wholeheartedly with everything that you've got. Serve him. You know, this weekend we had a group of guys that went to a Gridiron Conference. And the Gridiron Conference, we have a group that goes every year, and they have different communicators come in, and those guys gather together, and it's incredible worship. You know, it's one of the most powerful things when you've got just thousands and thousands of men worshiping God in truth and in spirit, man. And listen, I wish they would worship, you know, like they do at those things here. Come back and lead here. And so it's powerful to see. But you've got guys that are challenging these men to be godly men, to be godly fathers, and to make a difference. And so this past weekend, I didn't get to go. I'd hurt my back earlier in the week. And so I was on either ice or heat or either muscle relax or whatever throughout the weekend. But, you know, I wanted the guys to give me a report. So some of the guys were kind of giving me some feedback. And they were talking about how they were being challenged, you know, and being challenged to forgive, being challenged to lead, being challenged to be consistent. And so it's important for us to understand that what we bring back, what we do, how we lead, has an impact and a great return in our families. That's what Joshua was saying. He said, but as for me and my family, think about that. He's speaking for his family. He's not just saying, hey, listen, this is me. I can't make my wife's mind up, you know, and I can't, you know, make decisions for my kids. But you know what? This is what I'm saying. But he says, as for me and my family, he represents his household. And he's involved enough to know where they are and where they stand. And so he's involved, he's engaged, and he says, we will serve the Lord. We will fear the Lord. And so I think it's important for us to realize, you know what, we need to lead and lead well. And we need to know the condition. What, you know, where do we stand? Where are we as a family? And so he's able to stand before the people and say that. Look at this Proverbs 20, verse 7. It says, the godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow them. The godly walk with integrity. You know, I think too often, you know, we want to be known for certain things. We want to be known as, you know, maybe a hard worker. Maybe we want to be known as a good man or just but I think it's important for us to be known as a godly man. Not as a man's man, not necessarily as a hard working man, you know, not as a good singer, maybe a good, you know, athlete or whatever. Maybe we ought to say, you know what, man, I want to be known as a godly man. And the thing is, the scripture makes it pretty clear right there. It says that blessed are the children who follow them. And so for those of us that maybe have an opportunity to walk in godliness and we get to hopefully honor God with our life, we will hopefully see our kids following that same pattern. And so I would just encourage you to say, you know, man, I don't want to just be a, you know, hard worker, and I don't want to be, you know, a man's man. I don't want to be an athlete. I don't want to be that. I want to be godly. And we set that as a goal and say, I mean, I want to be godly. And so our children walk in that. And we're going to see later as we talk about modeling that, I think as we model those things, our kids will pick up on those things. You know, one of the things that I ask, one of the first things I ask if I ever meet with a couple who's coming in for counseling, I'll ask them and say, tell me about your family of origin. What was your mom like? What was your dad like? What was that? What did you see growing up? Because so much of what they saw and what was lived out in front of them is what they end up bringing into that relationship. And oftentimes there's good, and oftentimes there's bad. And what we've got to be willing to do is we've got to be willing to, you know, take the good and build on that, and the bad, sometimes we've got to be willing to crucify it. We've got to be willing to nail it down and say, you know what, I will not be like that. So I think it's important to do those things. And so look at this next one here out of Genesis. Here's God speaking of Abraham. He says, I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abraham all that I have promised. So here's God saying, hey, listen, I've directed Abraham to lead his sons and their families. In other words, to be an influence, to literally teach them the right things to do, you know, the wrong things to avoid. And so it's important that you understand that as a dad, as a father, we have a responsibility. And you're going to see throughout today's teaching that the one resounding thing is to teach. It's to teach. Over and over we hear to teach. I saw, where a couple of people had posted some things about their dad on Facebook. And a kid that I had spent some time with, he was in my youth group. And anyway, Kevin had posted about his dad. And he was talking about all the things that he learned from his dad. And he said, some of the greatest honors that I get is when someone says, you're just like your daddy. He said, or whenever they say, you look like your dad. And so Kevin was posting those things. And I remember whenever I was the youth pastor at that church, and I had a car who the motor went out on it. So me and this 15-year-old kid, Kevin, went to, you know, I was able to swap the motors out in an old Volkswagen Scirocco in the garage of his dad. And his dad was teaching me. He was teaching Kevin. He's one of those guys who was always teaching. He would stand there and he wouldn't do the work for us. He'd say, this has got to go there, that's got to go there. And you had to do everything, but he was always teaching. We could ask him questions. And I think it's important for us to understand that we do need to teach our kids. That's not somebody else's job. Let me just say this. That's not woman's work. That's our job as men, to teach. And it's not just, you know, not just how to work on a car. It's not how to repair something. It's not how to do something, but it's how to live. Our responsibility as men is to teach them more than just a task or a trade. It's to teach them how to live and live in such a way that it honors God. So here he's addressing Abraham in Genesis. Let's jump to the New Testament and look at what, you know, what Paul is saying to Timothy. And here's a great picture of a guy who is a father in the faith, if you would, to a young man. It's not his biological father. This is his spiritual father. And so Paul is speaking to Timothy. And look at what he says. He says, but you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. I was persecuted in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, but the Lord rescued me from it all. What he's saying, listen, he goes, Timothy, you have seen this. You know these things. You have watched this happen. And so what he's saying, listen, I have modeled this for you. I have lived it out. I have tried to teach you everything that I know. And he's pointing it out to Timothy. And then he says, but you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. All those things that you saw in me, he said, hey, listen, be faithful to that. Don't back down. Don't give in. You know, and listen, don't let false teaching get in the church. And he said, hey, listen, be faithful. And so he's challenging Timothy again. He says, but be faithful to the things you've been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. And so what he's saying, hey, listen, get into the Word of God. Timothy, make sure that you know the Word of God. You have been taught these Scriptures. Make sure you're passing them on to faithful men. Make sure that you're teaching those to other people. And so here, again, we see it's about teaching. Here's a spiritual father, if you would, investing in a young man, saying, hey, listen, man, remember what you've seen. Remember what we taught you. Be faithful to those things, and then pass those on. And then over here, it says, teach them all you can while you can. I think without question, we should do everything we can to teach our kids. And teach them all you can while you can. Teach them all you can while you can. Because there hits a point where they think you know nothing. It hits a point where you're a dad and you're a mom and you don't know a thing. You know, and then later in life, hopefully, they come to a point where they go, well, you know, maybe mom and dad did know a few things. And some of y'all are smiling like your kids are there, like mom and dad don't know anything. But let me just say this, and we hear this all the time, and if any of you guys in here have got little bitty kids, anybody got little bitty ones? Raise your hand if you got little ones. Okay. You know, you hear this all the time, and I know I'm older now, so I can say it, but enjoy those moments all you can, because they will grow up before you know it. You've heard that, and you'll hear that, and you'll be like, yeah, man, we got plenty of time. But I can remember whenever I would walk through the door, and my boys would come running, daddy, 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 and run and hit you around the legs. And man, I'm just telling you, you better eat it up while you can, and enjoy it while you can, because they will grow out of that stage. And so I'm just saying, it's one of those things that they grow up quicker than we think. And so we've got to teach them all that we can while we can, because why? Because they are growing up, and one day they'll be gone. Teach them all you can while you can. And take the opportunity. And that's what Scripture is saying. Hey, listen, teach them everything that you can while you can. Invest in them. Teach them why. And whenever they're in the why stage, answer them. Give them the reasons behind why. Don't just say, because I said so. You just say, because, hey, let me give you the reason. All right, so discipline means to instruct or teach. I think too often, for everybody in the room, when I say discipline, all of a sudden your mind goes to a spanking or a beating or whatever, or time out. But discipline is for teaching. And that's what it means, is to teach. Even if we're trying to discipline our body, to eat the right foods or to exercise, we're trying to teach ourselves a new habit. We're trying to force ourselves into a new pattern. And so the thing is, we're trying to educate our mind as to, hey, what's going on. And so discipline is for instruction. It's for teaching. And so look at this statement here, though. It says, when parents fail to establish themselves as authority figures in their young child's life, they encourage rebellion. They encourage rebellion. So here's the thing is, our kids need to see that we discipline them because we want to teach them. We're teaching. That it's not just a beating or a spanking or a whipping or whatever you want to call it. It's not time out. It is to discipline, to let them know there are consequences. It's kind of like a kid when he puts his hand on the stove and it's hot and he pulls it back and all of a sudden, he'll discipline himself not to do that again. Unless he's a little slow, he may stick it back up there and go, how hot was that, And maybe I've got slow ones, I don't know. But I'm just saying, usually we discipline ourselves not to do that again. And that's what discipline should be. Whenever you do something that is dangerous or, causes harm, then what you do is that you receive consequences for that. You receive consequences for that. And so those consequences discipline you or teach you, hopefully, to not do that again. And so the thing is parents need to learn that discipline is a good thing. Young people need to understand that discipline is to teach. It is to teach. It's to learn. And so too often what we hear, though, is we'll see parents who pride themselves on that they're best friends with their kids. And I tell people all the time, and like I said, I may offend some of you with a statement, but whenever you're more concerned with being your kid's friend than you are being their parent, you're not doing them any good. Your kid needs to learn how to build friendships other than you. And I hear so often, me and my mom are best friends, me and my dad are best friends, or whatever. And that can be a good thing at the right season in life, but your kids need to learn how to build relationships. You need to teach them how to go out and build relationships. And maybe it's because of your insecurities. Maybe it's because of you don't have any friends. Hey, I'll just be friends with my kids. Well, that's dysfunctional. I'm just letting you know. You need friends outside of that. Last night I was watching Lightning McQueen in Cars 1 or 2. I don't even remember which one. I think I watched both of them. And anyway, in one of them, the guy goes, hey, I got 20 tickets for you and your friends. And he's like, "You got how many? What, who are your friends?" And he was like, he didn't have any. Let me just tell you this. We need to teach our kids to build relationships, to build friendships, and to be a good friend. They need to learn how to be a good friend from us. And if we're not a good friend because we don't have any friends, then shame on us. It goes back to leading. We need to lead by teaching them to have good relationships, healthy relationships with people and peers, and understand that we are the parent, they are the child. Now, there'll be a time and there's seasons whenever that friendship can be tight. But I think it's important for them to understand our role as the leaders of the home. It says here, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. There's teaching again. Do not exasperate them. Don't break them. Don't crush them. Don't ruin them. And so one of the things that we often see is that, we take our position as authority and we take it overboard. And we crush their spirits and we break them. And that's not God's intention. And let me tell you, there's too many times through the years that as a dad that I feel like, I have blown it. I have messed up, I've blown or messed up as a husband. I didn't do what I should have done. Maybe I didn't handle that the right way. I didn't say it the right way. Thank God we have God who gives us second chances. But the thing is we've got to be willing to take ownership of the times when we do blow it. We've got to be willing to ask for forgiveness. We've got to be willing to say, you know what, I handled that wrong. I responded the wrong way. Will you forgive me? Ask your child to forgive you. You know, and so the thing is we need to be, you know, teachers. We need to be about that. Here it says, do not exasperate your children. There's an old movie, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's called The Man from Snowy River. It's one of my favorite movies. And there's a scene in there where the old brother, the uncle, is talking to the dad of the girl. He said, and there's a racehorse in there that has gotten free and gotten loose and is running with the Brumbies or whatever. And so he says, you wouldn't dare break the spirit of that racehorse the way you just broke the spirit of your child. And there's a lot of truth to that. Sometimes what we do is we'll put value on other things, but we'll crush our children. And the thing is our job is to teach them, to equip them, prepare them for the works of ministry, to hopefully one day launch them into life. And look what he says, do not exasperate them. In other words, don't crush their spirit, don't break them down. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Bring them up. Encourage. Build up. And then look at this next one. It says, to discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. To discipline a child produces wisdom. So when we discipline our children, and if you're one of those who you're totally against discipline, I'm just telling you, you're following the wrong teaching. You're not following God's Word. You may be following the latest, greatest book that's out there. You might be listening to Dr. Phil and Oprah and any other kind of, you know, teaching that might be out there. But if you want to look at Scripture, it makes it clear that we are to discipline. And not to the point of harming or hurting, but of teaching. You know, I can remember spanking my boys through the years, and I'd say, hey, listen, let's talk about why. And we would understand why. You know, and I remember, you know, people saying, you know, it hurts me more than it hurts you. I'm telling you, you know, as a parent, you understand, dude, it does hurt when you have to discipline them because you love them. You do everything you can to, you know, to make things good for them. And whenever they cross that line, sometimes you have to do that. I can remember more than once, you know, and if y'all ever been in a store, you've seen kids that were out of control, they're acting a fool or whatever, and you're sitting there thinking, man, you know, those kids need some discipline, you know. And with my kids, there's been times when we've been there, and I say, hey, listen, let's go to the dressing room. And we would go to the dressing room and we would do discipline. And so now they learned. They were educated. They figured it out. Hey, you don't do that. There's some consequences to that. And so now we can be standing somewhere and they'll look at me and, you know, some kid acting a fool going everywhere and the mom and dad won't do anything to, you know, to give correction. And they'll look at me like, you wouldn't put up with that. And I'm like, you're exactly right. So they have learned. See, that's education. There you go. So I think it's important for our kids to be educated. And here's the thing. It says here, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. I think the child is disgraced. It's not just the mother. I think the child is disgraced when we don't do our job. That child becomes one that everybody else points at and goes, there's that kid. You know, who wants him? Who wants him in their Bible study group? Hey, you know, move him over. I'm just saying, we disgrace the family when we're not willing to discipline. And so look at this next passage. And, of course, you guys are probably familiar with this one. It says, as you endure this divine discipline, talking about the discipline we receive from God, remember that God is treating you as His own children. And listen to this next statement. This is awesome. It says, whoever heard of a child who was never disciplined by its father? I mean, Scripture makes it pretty clear. Like, whoever heard of someone who doesn't discipline their kid? Like, dude, is that out of this world or what? So Scripture itself is calling that out. So if you're following some kind of weird teaching, I'm just telling you, look at what the Scripture says. It's like, who would even think like that? I mean, who would not do that? If God doesn't discipline you as He does His own children, it means that you're illegitimate and you're not really His children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? What he's saying there, the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, listen, you know, we are disciplined by a Father who loves us. I heard McKenzie a while ago talking about our loving Heavenly Father. And He is a loving Heavenly Father. He wants to teach me and wants to equip me. And here's the thing. There are times whenever He disciplines me. There are times whenever I have felt a certain way or thought a certain thought, and He has rebuked me in the Spirit. And I'm going like, you know what, I'm out of line. And so here's the thing. Because God loves me, He disciplines me. And that's what the writer is saying. Hey, listen, man, I mean, who's ever heard of a father that doesn't discipline their child? I mean, what kind of crazy thinking is that? And so what it's saying is, you know, if we're going to be teaching, we've got to be willing to discipline. And then it says here, to learn, you must love discipline. In other words, if you want to learn, you have to love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. Now, some kids are probably going, they just said the S word. That's what the translation says. It is stupid to hate correction. Now, most of us don't like correction. We don't like to be corrected, especially men. I think men, you know, a lot of times we you know, if we say something, our wife goes, "No, you're wrong about that." It's like, "Hey, hey, what are you doing?" You know, even if I'm wrong, you're supposed to back me up, type mentality sometimes. But the thing is, most of us don't like correction. You know, we don't like to be dressed down. We feel like, you just dressed me down. You know, you just disrespect me. It's not, but here's the thing. We've got to learn to want correction. And I've joked about this before. You know, there's a lot of times I'll get through teaching and I'll ask Laurie, "Hey, Laurie, give me some feedback on the message." You know, especially in between services, "What do you think?" She's like, "That's okay." I'm like, "The heck is that? I mean, what do you mean it's okay? I mean, was it not good? I mean, what?" And she said, "Well, this wasn't real clear. Or this was," and I was like, "No, it's pretty clear." You know, and so I get on the defense. You ever do that? I mean, somebody tries to tell you something, and you go on the defense, and you're kind of defending it. And what we got to be willing to do is be willing to hear it out and try to improve. Because that's what that is. That's correcting the course. Most of us don't like correction, even constructive criticism. Constructive criticism is building, right? It's building you up. But we don't receive it that way. Sometimes somebody says something, you know, and, "Hey, listen, you weren't very clear on this," or "Whenever you did this, it didn't go well." And we don't believe them until maybe a couple of days later, or we watch video. You watch video and go, "Oh, she was right. Yeah, they were right." Our kids are that way, aren't they? You know, I tell my boys, all three of my boys have played sports growing up, and, you know, and I'll try to give them correction on something, you know, try to help them to improve, and they'll get aggravated with me because I'm giving, you know, them a correction. And, you know, and I tell them all the time, I say, "Listen, I'm your biggest fan." I said, "I want you to be successful more than any other person out here, I promise you." So believe me, when I say that, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. But is it always received that way? No. I think most of us understand that. But the Bible says, let me read it again. It says, "To learn, you must love discipline, and it is stupid to hate correction." But most of us wrestle with correction. And so I'm not saying we're all stupid, but I'm just saying a lot of times we've got to be willing to die to self, crucify the flesh, and listen. And so here's the last point here. Lead the way by modeling it. Obviously, we need desperately needed leadership in our homes, in our families. We need leadership. We need guys to step up and lead. And then lead the way by modeling it. Let me tell you one of the positives that I've seen in the last 2 weeks. Billy spoke on serving the last two Sundays. It was on created to serve, or called to serve, and then created to serve. And we had 80 people over the last two Sundays that filled out cards saying, "Hey, listen, I want to serve somewhere," and they would check somewhere, or they'd mark somewhere. And so here's what I love about that. They made a decision. They made a commitment to say, "Hey, listen, I want to serve the body of Christ. I want to use my gifts. I want to whatever. I want to be a part of the dream team." So 80-something people checked the card and wanted to get involved. Isn't that awesome? Let's give them a hand. That's good stuff. Now, here's the thing is, some of your kids will see you serve. They'll watch you do what you said you would do. And some of you will have to wrestle with the fact that you checked a place on a card, but you don't ever show up. You remember what Billy said last week? He said, if you sign up, show up, right? He called you out. He said, if you sign up, show up. If you have a responsibility, be there. You know, and so what he's saying, hey, listen, do what you say. And so I'm just telling you, every one of us will have an opportunity. Of that 80, we'll have an opportunity to either model truth, model commitment, you know, do what you say, or either some of them won't even show up for training. Some of them won't show up and do what they committed to. Because it's easy to check a card. Easy to check a card, drop it in a basket. And here's the thing is, the tough thing is going to the training. Getting out of your comfort zone. Maybe doing things different than you've ever done them before. Maybe kind of finding out the why behind why we do what we do. You know, and then realizing, but here's the thing, those are the tough things. But when you get involved in it, you end up realizing, you begin to see, man, we're helping people take steps towards Christ. Like today may have been a tough day to be out in the parking lot, on the parking lot team. Would y'all agree? I don't know if it's still raining, but man, you needed a canoe to get here this morning. You know, but the thing is, you know, days like today, it's kind of tough to be on the parking lot team. You got to have an umbrella, you got to go meet people and kind of help them in. What about in August whenever the temperature may be 99, 98, maybe over 100, you know, and you're on the parking team? That's when the commitment shows up. But here's the thing is, are you committed? And I'm just saying, what we do is we model that for our kids. We model that for our teammates. We model that for the people that are watching us. And so I think it's important for us to model things. You know, I think it's important for the dads to model worship for their kids. Their kids see their dad worshiping. That's what I was saying a while ago. If you got a gridiron, you watch these guys worship, man. They're stretched out. They're locked in. They're worshiping like you wouldn't believe. And then oftentimes they'll come back here and they'll do this. And I'm like, man, let your kids see you worship like that. Model it. Teach them how to worship. Teach them some things. Look what it says here. It says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly, there's wholeheartedly, same thing that Joshua said over here, to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. In other words, talk about the Scriptures. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road and when you are going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them down on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. And so what we hear right there is say, hey, listen, man, you need to know the Word of God. You need to be teaching these things to your kids. Living them out. Hey, and as you're going, you're talking. As you're going, you're teaching. And you might want to say, as you're going, you're disciplining. Because you're teaching. And so you're teaching your children. And that's what we're saying. It's to lead the way by modeling it. And so, you know, something happens. You know, it's not, hey, you're in trouble for that. And you're going to get in trouble for that. Or you're going to be in timeout. Or you can't do this. All right, let's talk about the spiritual reason why that's wrong. Let's talk about what's going on there. And so I think a couple of things here and then we'll be done. And so by modeling, like it says here, lead the way by modeling it. So that when we model things, we help them learn the meaning of hard work. We help our kids understand the meaning of hard work. And so whenever we help our kids understand hard work, that means that we have modeled that for them, that we teach them to work hard. You know, I think it's important. Work shouldn't be something that we worship. It can become an idol just like anything else. And some people become workaholics. I've been close to some people who were workaholics. Everything was about the job. Everything was about, you know, whatever they could, I guess, get earned or, you know, credits or whatever, you know, whatever they might, the accolades that may come with doing their job well became their guide. And we have to be careful that, you know, we don't become workaholics. And so the thing is what we do is we have to be willing to say, you know what, hard work is important. If you look in the Bible is, you know, it says positive things about work. It's praised. Hard worker. You know, it's a good thing. Even God who created the heavens and the earth, you know, for 6 days. You know, the American dream says you get Saturday and Sunday off. But I'm just saying in the Bible, it was 6 days and then a day of rest. It's important for us to have a day of rest. But the thing is we often, well, you know, it needs to be, you know, just 5 days. That's the American dream. But the Bible says to work hard. And so whatever you do, the Bible says to do it as unto the Lord. So I think it's important for us to teach our kids to work. And I'll just say this, in this day and age, and I hear it all the time, even right now as our church staff is looking to hire, you know, it's hard to find people that want to work. I think some people join the ministry, they think, well, if you join the ministry, you don't have to work. And that's not the way it is. Yeah, and I'll say this too, friends of mine that own companies, you know, that are looking for help, say, man, it is hard to find people that will work. And that's an embarrassment to our culture, and especially to a Christian. And so I think we ought to teach our kids what the meaning of hard work is. Here's another one. Help them learn how to love the wife, your wife and family. Guys, that's something we can teach our kids. You know, help our children understand how to love your wife. That means to tell her she's beautiful. That means to pursue her, to speak highly of her. You know, to serve your wife. I think it's important for us to model those things for our kids. You know, there's times whenever, you know, Laurie and I, you know, we're humans. And there's times whenever we push each other's buttons and we make each other mad. You know, and I try my best not to say anything negative about her in front of the boys. There's times I may be thinking it. I ain't going to lie to you. And she probably thinks the same thing about me. But the thing is we work at trying to honor one another and serving one another. And I think it's important for you to model that for your kids. One of the greatest things I believe that a parent can give their kids is a loving relationship between you and your spouse. The more that you love one another, care for one another, serve one another, share with one another, and you know, and you're there for one another, I think you give your kids stability. I think that you give them something that, you know what, money can't buy. You give them something that the world can't offer them, but you give them stability because they will always say, you know what, I always knew that my mom and dad, they loved each other. They cared for each other. They were committed to one another. They were faithful. It's one of the greatest things you can give your kids. And to not do that is robbing them. And so I think whenever we do that, but I think we need to learn how help them learn how to love their wife and their family. I think that's our responsibility as men to teach them that. And then to learn how to pray for the family. You know, oftentimes our kids, maybe they don't know how to pray. Too often, you know, in the church, we'll talk about, you know, hey, listen, man, you guys need to be praying. Well, some people in here don't know how to pray. So it's our job as pastors and as elders and teachers to equip the people for the works of ministry. Our job is to teach you how to pray. Oftentimes we talk about tithing, you know, and you might go, well, man, I don't know what a tithe is. Well, it's our job to teach you what a tithe is. And then here's the other thing. Teach you how to get to the point where you can tithe. So many people in America live paycheck to paycheck, and they don't feel like they can tithe. They may want to give, but they don't feel like they can give. Well, it's our job to kind of help teach you guys how to get to that point. It's kind of like making disciples. We talk about how you need to be making disciples. All right, well, some of you may be, well, how do you do that? That's our job as the church, is to teach you how to make disciples. Share your faith. People often say, well, man, I want to be able to share my faith. I just don't know how. Well, it's our job to teach you how to do that. And let me just say this. It's the same way with your kids. Everything that I just talked to you about with the church, it's your responsibility to learn how to do those things so that you can teach your kids. Teach them to be prayer warriors. Teach them to be able to share their faith. Teach them how important it is to tithe. Teach them those things. And if you don't know how to, then come find out from us, and we will teach you so that you can teach them. And then here's another one. Help them learn how to live with integrity or walk in integrity. Teach them how to live or to walk in integrity. Integrity is character. It's who you are when no one else is around. I had a real test of this past year. Many of you guys know I love to hunt. I love to turkey hunt, deer hunt, duck hunt, any kind of hunting. I just love to do it. I love being in the outdoors. And this past year, Zach and I were on a turkey hunt, and we were on our property, and there was 5 long-beard turkeys all bowed up, you know, just in full strut, just across the property line. And they were within shotgun range, all 5 of them. And so we're sitting there, and you know, I'm trying. You know, turkey hunting, you're calling them in. You're trying to call the turkey to you, trying to make them come to you. So I'm sitting there and I'm yelping, and anyway, the turkey gets all the way to the fence and is standing about 30 yards from us, maybe. And Zach goes, "Can I shoot him?" I said, "Nope, not until he crosses the fence." And he was like, "Are you kidding me?" And I'm like, "Nope, I'm not kidding." And so anyway, I do everything I can to try to get that bird to come across there and his buddies. And anyway, they never would. So they finally saw something they didn't like, and they moved on. And that was an integrity lesson. You know, for a lot of people, they would have pulled the trigger and wouldn't have thought anything of it. But for me, that's my son, and I would rather teach him integrity rather than just filling a tag. You know, and so I think it's important for us to realize, dads, you know, there's times when we have an opportunity to teach integrity. And here's what I mean by that, is they're watching. And so what we model, if we don't have integrity when it comes to things, you know, when someone calls, say, hey, tell them I'm not here, that's integrity. Hey, I'm going to call in sick today. You're not sick, that's integrity. There's a lot of things that we do that we just kind of, they'll understand. They understand that it's not integrity. And so I think it's important for us to teach our children to honor their word, to do what they say, and to be a man or a woman of integrity. And then the last one here is teach them, help them learn how to lead. Help them learn how to lead. Not everybody's a good leader, but everybody can learn how to be a better leader. Some people have incredible gifts of leadership, and then some just need a lot of work. And I would just say this. I think it's our responsibility to help them learn how to lead. I've watched people through the years that would say, I'm not a leader, Mike. You know, I'm just not gifted in that. And I understand that some people are gifted, but here's the thing is, you can learn how to be a better leader. I'm 51 years old. My prayer is that when I'm 81, if I live that old, I'm still learning how to be a better leader. I want to lead my family. I want to lead my church. I want to lead the people around me. I want to be a leader. And so the thing is I've got to constantly be willing to learn. And I think for all of us, if we model learning, we model leading. And so I think it's important for us to do that. And so those are just some things. There's lots of things we could put there, but I would just say this. I think we need to help our kids by modeling things in front of them. Worship's one of them. Praying's one of them. You know, tithing's one of them. Serving is another. Giving, you know, caring for people, protecting. You know, I think those are important things. And so here's some next steps for me today. And I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord, but here's some steps. Next, number one, I want to accept the responsibility of leading my family. Too often men get intimidated by that role of being a spiritual leader. And they feel overwhelmed, and they kind of check out. I had a guy one time that came to Journey that he doesn't live here anymore. I remember him saying, he said, man, I come, he said, and I hear these things about, you know, what I should be doing, what I should be doing. I'm thinking, okay. He said, and then I hear it again, and it's like, man, you know, I just can't do that. And I said, the thing is, I said, it's what you're created to do. It's the call on your life. And like what we're talking about with serving. We're called to do that as men. And we can shirk on the responsibility, and we can kind of pass it up. And here's the thing. Great will be the consequences, just like whenever we do serve and we do lead and we do take the responsibility, great will be the return. And so maybe today I want to accept the responsibility of leading my family. You just make that commitment. Say, you know what, I'm going to lead. And I'll say this. I've heard women say this. Don't sit there and say, I'm going to lead, and then try to pick and choose what day you're going to lead. If you're going to lead, you're going to lead. It don't mean like, hey, well, today I'm going to lead, and then tomorrow you're doing everything. The next day, you know, when I feel like it, I'll lead again. No, it's leading from that point forward. And here's another one. I recommit fresh anew to love the Lord with all that I am. I read out of Deuteronomy up here, you know, that same passage is quoted by Jesus. They were trying to trap him, and they said, Jesus, what's the most important commandment? What's the greatest commandment? He said, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. To love Him with everything that you're made of, with everything, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. And so here's the thing is, you know, Jesus was quoting the same passage we read here out of Deuteronomy. And he said, hey, listen, love the Lord your God with everything that's in you. Not just every once in a while, not when it's convenient, not when you're around other buddies that are Christians, but it's loving God with everything that's in you wholeheartedly. So maybe today you recommit to that. And then the last part, I commit to learn more of God's Word so I can teach more to my family. I think every one of us ought to commit to that. Say, you know what, I want to learn more of God's Word so I can teach more to my kids. I can teach more to my family. I can teach more to the people around me. I want to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. And maybe you're here today and you're one of those dads who you feel like, man, Mike, I have blown it. I have not been a good dad. I have not been a good dad. You just feel like, man, I have blown it. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. Nobody else is looking. Say, Mike, that's me. I've blown it. I see your hand. Mike, I haven't been the dad I ought to be. I haven't been the husband I ought to be. That's me. Just raise your hand. Just say, Mike, that's me. All right. I feel the same way sometimes. And what Satan loves to do is he loves to discourage us. He loves to beat us down. He loves to make us question ourselves. He loves to tell us what we haven't done. And this is what I would say. In those areas that maybe need adjustment, be willing to make adjustment. Celebrate the wins. Celebrate the positive things. But always be willing to say, you know, God, what needs to change in me? How can I become more like Jesus? How can I become more like Him? There may be some of you in this room that you've never accepted Jesus. You've never accepted Christ. And maybe that's where you're at. You're like, Mike, I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good husband. Good father. But I just can't seem to do what it takes. Let me just tell you this. You cannot do it without Christ. And so if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, I can just tell you that's the step you need to take. You need to accept Christ and let Him give you the power to be the man that God wants you to be. It's a simple prayer that we pray, but it's a radical change that it comes in our lives. So maybe if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, you say, Mike, that's me. Well, I want to lead you through a simple prayer that you can pray today. And if it's from your heart, it'll change you. It'll change you from the inside out. It's a simple prayer. Just say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross. Jesus, I believe that you can save me. And so, Jesus, I want to ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to stop living the way I've been living, and I want to live for you. That's repentance. So if we confess our sins and we repent of our sins and we turn to Christ and we receive Him, the Bible says we will be saved. And so with all the faith that you have right now, just say, Jesus, I want you to come and live within me. Jesus, I need you to fill me. I need you to empower me. I need you to use me. To love my family. to lead my family, to model for my family what you have taught us. But Jesus, with all the faith that I have, I'm asking you to come and live within me. I want you to be my leader, my Lord. That's your prayer. The Bible says you will be saved. And we would love to be able to share with you how to move forward from there. If you go back here to the VIP room in the back, we've got a Bible we'd love to give you. I want to pray for the dads. Because I know too often we do feel like we've blown it. Missed opportunities. Wrong responses. And we let those things oftentimes put us on the bench instead of leading like we ought to. Father, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you that you have met with us, challenged us. God, I thank you that you're the God of second chances. God, that you don't give up on us. God, you never leave us nor forsake us, just like we sang earlier. And so, God, I pray that you would hear our hearts. I know that you do. God, as we ask for forgiveness in the times that we have failed, Father, we also are thankful for the times that you have guided us, given us wisdom, given us direction. God, we're thankful that you've never left us nor forsaken us. So, God, as we move forward from here, I pray for the men in here that may be fresh and new today, commit to be a godly man, to honor you with their life, to love their wife like you love the church. God, teach us how to be men of character and integrity. God, teach us to be godly men who love you, fear you, and God, we share you with anyone and everyone. God, I pray that you'd bless these men. Let this be a great Father's Day. For those in this room that maybe are struggling with their relationship with their dad, God, I pray for healing. I pray for the willingness to go in.